It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In Allegheny County recently, 15% of the roughly 89,000 kids ages 7 and under were tested for exposure to lead. More than 7% had blood lead levels at or above the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's reference point for case management. Now, the head of the Allegheny County Health Department is calling for mandatory blood lead tests for all children in Pennsylvania between the ages of 9 and 12 months, and again at 24 months. The Pittsburgh City Paper's Ashley Murray is reporting on this. She joins us along with A.J. Corey, research and evaluation analyst for the Homewood Children's Village. They are with us in studio. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh, Ashley and A.J.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much for having us.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. What concerns do you have about lead in homes? There are a lot of older homes in Pennsylvania that were built with and furnished with lead paint. And there are concerns about that, about how to test for it, and whether your children might be exposed to it. You can call us with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. Ashley Murray, how bad is the problem of kids being exposed to lead in the state of Pennsylvania, and particularly here in Allegheny County?
Well, when I spoke to Dr. Karen Hacker, who's the head of the Allegheny County Health Department, she said the real issue is there's no baseline. Because testing is not consistent and it's not mandatory, it's hard to get a handle on which kids are exposed, how bad that exposure is. So why she's pushing for the mandatory testing across Pennsylvania is to actually get a handle on how bad the problem would be, if it is in fact bad. When you look at the 2014 childhood lead surveillance annual report from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, you can see in there that the parts of the state that are affected the most are in Allentown in Lehigh County, and then also in Warren County.
And really, it's a problem where you have older homes, and I'm trying, was it 1978? Was that the year that they...
Correct. That's when lead paint was banned.
Okay. So if you have a home that was built before that, and you know, you look at the interior furnishings, the paint, in all likelihood, was a lead-based paint. And, you know, kids can get into that. There can be fumes or dust that you don't even see just from opening and closing a window. I learned that from reading your article in this
Correct.
Week's City Paper. So, you know, people might be, there's the thought, I'm sure, that some people might be overreacting, but really you can't be overreacting to this because lead paint is omnipresent in Pennsylvania homes. And it adversely affects kids, and we'll get into more of that with AJ. But you know, what is the impetus for this mandatory testing idea?
So basically, like you said, it could come from just opening and closing a window. So one of the women that I spoke to in the story, Sarah Godwin, she lived in Erie, Pennsylvania. And her pediatrician decided to test her 9-month-old daughter and found lead levels in her blood. And then she got her home tested, found out that the levels were highest in living room and in the bedroom where they were opening and closing the windows. So there was dust coming from old paint on window frames that her child then was picking up maybe on the carpet while she was crawling, putting, you know, hands in her mouth.
Which is something that kids constantly do.
Yeah. So those kinds of situations are really what the reason why Dr. Karen Hacker and also why some state legislators here in Pennsylvania are pushing for mandatory testing across the state. Because it's sort of an invisible problem. And then once a kid grows up and maybe they're 15, some intellectual deficiencies are realized, it's hard to then point back to, oh, yes, this happened when the child was 4, you know.
It's too late.
Correct. It's too late, and it's also hard to point back to that exact point when the child was exposed to lead. So I think what the lawmakers are thinking now who are pushing for mandatory testing and Dr. Karen Hacker are saying, why not just, you know, nip this in the bud and test kids when they're 9 months, 12 months old?
A.J. Curry, research and evaluation analyst for the Homewood Children's Village. What are the effects of lead poisoning? What are the things that you look out for as you work with children on a daily basis?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's a great question, and something that we have to be ever present of as we're, you know, in the classrooms and we're in the community. We come into contact with children every day, thousands of them. You know, the effects of lead are invisible in a large way, because you can't tell from someone just by looking at them, obviously, if they are being exposed to higher levels of lead. But there are certain indicators that, you know, might be related. So a lot of times it comes. It shows up as, you know, children having behavioral problems in the classroom, irritability, loss of appetite, fatigue, things like that. And also cognitive deficits. So, you know, for instance, in Homewood, we know that our children have some of the lowest test, you know, standardized test scores in the city, and in the, you know, PPS district, Pittsburgh Public Schools district. And, you know, it stands to reason that it's possible that our children might be being exposed to more lead, and maybe, you know, a manifestation of that, the symptoms are that they're doing, you know, more poorly on these tests.
So that has led you to the decision to, I guess you are about to embark on lead testing in Homewood homes.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And how will you do that?
Well, we have been investigating essentially, you know, how can we get these lead testing kits? So for homes that are in the PWSA pipeline, they will provide free testing kits. But a lot of our homes in Homewood are actually being served by Wilkes-Penn Water Association. So going through, you know, those channels and seeing if we can actually partner and get the lead testing kits. We have recently reached out to another lead testing organization to see if we can also partner with them in order to get, you know, over 100 testing kits to do a community forum in Homewood, teaching residents about, you know, lead in water, how to test for it, and then partnering with them to actually get the results.
And how much is what happened in Flint recently behind the impetus behind what you're doing?
Certainly that was
a wake-up call?
I would say in a large way. It came across my desk. I remember sitting, you know, looking on at work, you know, basically one of the jobs that I'm tasked with doing is writing briefs so that we can give to the governor or the mayor, put in policymakers' hands about things that might be affecting our children or might be affecting Homewood, and particularly now as Homewood's becoming a place that's, you know, getting more architecture in it. So ARCO is in there building houses. So, you know, things that we want to be pushing the conversation forward. But I remember looking at, you know, some of the things that were going on in Homewood in particular and in Pittsburgh, and seeing that Flint, Michigan had that water crisis, and wondering if, you know, that were true for our children, if our children are being exposed to more lead and if, you know, that's playing out in our school system.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Ashley Murray of the City Paper and A.J. Curry, research and evaluation analyst for Homewood Children's Village. We're talking about the possibility of children being exposed to lead, particularly in areas like Homewood. It is certainly something that people are concerned about in older areas of Allegheny County, where health officials are pushing for mandatory testing of lead in children. Let's go to the phones again at 412-246-2002, starting with Aaron in Pittsburgh with a question. Hi, Aaron. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Hey, two-part question. The first is pregnant mothers, if they are exposed to lead, what's the likelihood that they will pass along lead poisoning exposure to their fetus, their unborn child? And secondly, if a mother is exposed, what's the likelihood that if she is nursing, she'll pass along a lead exposure to her child?
So we're asking about exposure of women who are pregnant to lead, and mothers who are nursing, if they can pass along, if they show traces of lead in their system, if they can pass that on to their child. That's an interesting question, Aaron. What do we know about that, Ashley?
Thanks for the question, Aaron. I as a reporter, I haven't gotten into the weeds of the biology of how maybe exposure of lead in an expectant mother would pass along to the fetus or through breast milk. But I will say that House Bill 1917, which is currently in the Health Committee in the State House, the Health Committee is chaired by Representative Matt Baker. That bill would require expectant mothers to have a test as part of their prenatal care, a lead levels test. So it is an important consideration.
Hopefully that answers your question, Aaron. Thank you for that call. Before we go into our next call, how much is cost a consideration among legislators and others when it comes to doing this testing? Because what other reason could there possibly be for not making it mandatory?
Well, when I reached out to Representative Baker regarding this bill, one of the things that he said was he was concerned about the cost now with the Affordable Health Care Act, Affordable Care Act. When I then asked him for details and followed up on that, he just gave me a general answer and said, you know, I'm discussing this bill right now with my aides and we're reviewing this legislation and, you know, to follow up with him at a time down the road. But the pediatrician that I spoke to in my story, he's the system chair for pediatrics at Allegheny General Hospital. He expressed to me that it's not much of a worry. You know, in his office, he just automatically tests his patients at 9 months, and he hasn't really seen high levels of lead. Mm-hmm. He serves 8,000 children across the city. But when I asked him, well, would you care if it was mandatory? He said, No, actually, it's real easy. We do it right here in the office. The cost isn't much, and we run the tests here.
So do we know why a legislator would be pointing to cost as one of the concerns or one of the things that's prohibiting this from being done? Because you would think that, you know, based on some of the initiatives coming from the Wolf administration with regard to the opioid epidemic, they are saying they're calling for money for outpatient treatment of people who have addiction. Why wouldn't you create money? Why would cost be an object when you're talking about the health of young citizens or any citizen for that matter?
Other representatives I spoke to, in addition to Representative Baker, I spoke to Representative John Marr and Representative Schlossberg, who's over in Lehigh County. Both of them expressed interest in moving this legislation forward. So I will be following up with Representative Baker on why he said he was concerned about putting mandates on healthcare professionals. Putting more mandates on healthcare professionals was his quote. I did receive a statement from the governor's office saying that they support universal mandatory lead testing statewide, and they're ready to work with the legislature to move mandatory lead testing legislation through the state House and Senate.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation. Let's go to Casey in Regent Square. Hi, Casey. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for your continued coverage of this story. My
You're
question
welcome.
Is, I'll try to make this quick. There is a private preschool in Friendship, and some parents suspected that there was lead on the playground, and it took a lot of effort for the parents to get the school to test the lead. And once it was realized that there was lead on the playground, it took a long time for the school to tell any of the parents. They only told a section of the school. I tried to report this to the health department, and they seemed to kind of say it wasn't within their jurisdiction. It kind of fell into a no man's land until I realized the councilwoman's children went there. She called the health department. But I just have a question. I just feel like there's a legal no man's land for some of these places that may be contaminated with lead and may be contaminating children.
Well, it's an interesting point. And I guess, Casey, what you're asking here really is, are private schools held to the same accountability as public schools when it comes to reporting the lead safety of their schools? What do you know about that?
What I learned while reporting...
Ashley.
Sorry. Yeah, no, what sorry. I learned while reporting this is... that basically it's a lot of individual responsibility in fixing this problem. It's expensive. It's expensive to test. It's expensive to do lead abatement. So, for example, when you buy a house or rent an apartment, you know, the cost, if you wanted to get something fixed, is on you.
Right. And you were saying, yeah, it's not necessarily on the landlord. And that you were talking about the people who bought the house that was built in the 20s mm-hmm. that did do the lead abatement, and it cost them, and this was before they decided to also test the groundwater. It cost them $50,000.
Yeah, to test the soil. So, and it was a very conscious mother that I spoke to. I mean, she owns a store selling all natural baby products, things like that. So it was really on top of mind for her to get everything fixed. And they did test the soil outside of the home, and they did get a landscape overhaul.
But that was in addition to the $50,000.
Yeah.
So it is costly, but again, you know, what price do you put on the health of a child?
There is a center for Excellence in Environmental Toxicology, I believe is the name, out of University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, I think. There is a center there. They do research, outreach, community education on if you do find lead in your home and you realize this extreme cost of doing lead abatement and you realize you can't afford it, they do help people figure out ways to reduce lead exposure in certain rooms of their house, the most used rooms. So there are some resources out there to educate people on how to, you know, reduce it at least a little bit.
Sure. But I want to go back to the question from the caller, which was that, you know, what is the standard for private schools as opposed to public schools? Are they all held to the same standard? Who watches that?
Well, that is a very good question, Paul, and I would need to follow up on that. It's really a private school. It's the private school's responsibility to fix that.
Let's go to Christy in Beachview with a question. Hi, Christy. Welcome. Well, we lost Christy. Let's try Sam in Monroeville. Sam, are you there?
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good, Sam. Go ahead.
My question is, I live in Monroeville, as was stated, and recently Monroeville, the water authority here, has switched to the Murraysville water source, and Murraysville has stated that they use chloramine as one of their main, disinfectors or whatever the purpose chloramine does. And I know from all the stuff that happened at Flint that chloramine is one of the chemicals that strips out that sort of natural protective layer that gets inside of copper pipes and older copper pipes to keep from coming in contact with those joints. Because of the local inclusion of chloramine now in our water, first of all, how long does it take or might it take to actually strip out that lining and become evident to testing? And then as well, are you working with the Murraysville Water Authority, I don't know if that's the correct name, to sort of begin to test their water as well on a higher level because of the use of chloramine?
So I did speak to Representative Marr, Representative John Marr. He does represent part of Allegheny County. I'm not sure if you would be a constituent of his or not. But he did speak to me about those chemicals in being added into water and the risk of stripping the protective film that forms in the pipes. He is currently the chair of the Environmental Committee, Environmental Resources and Energy Committee. And right now in his committee is House Bill number 1918. And that would update testing for water in public water systems. So that would require testing in those water systems, 2 consecutive 6-month monitoring periods. And then from there, the testing schedule would decrease. But right now, the bill is just 2 pages long. It's a bit vague. So there will be hearings coming up in the Environmental Committee, which perhaps you could follow or reach out to that representative about how this testing would be done and whether those chemicals would strip the film from the pipes.
Sam, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. What about plans for abatement once the lead has been identified? And also, is there any idea about how much lead can be found outdoors in places such as playgrounds?
I mean, the lead abatement is, that's the point at which this gets tricky and very expensive. So
and I do realize you can't explain everything.
Yeah. I mean, there's these three pieces of legislation in the House right now, and there's the health department calling for mandatory testing, and these bills are calling for updates to water testing and updates to landlord testing paint in apartments that will be rented out. But there's nothing that covers, you know, where the money would come from once these expensive lead abatement plans were realized by people who were doing the testing. There is federal money right now. The federal budget from HUD for lead hazard grants is $100 million nationally. Since the 90s, HUD has given Pennsylvania 35 lead hazard grants, equaling to about $90 million. So currently there's about $13 million in active lead hazard grants in Pennsylvania. And they're in Lawrence County, Harrisburg, Philly, and another city. Erie. Erie is the other city. So there is federal money, but the federal lead hazard grant budget is decreasing.
Speaking of Philadelphia, their standards are tighter than what we have here.
Yes. Landlords in Philadelphia are subject to a stronger ordinance of making sure that apartments they're going to rent to families with children are lead-free or lead-safe.
Now, I don't want to leave our other guest, A.J. Corey, out of the conversation. From your perspective, obviously, your delving into this issue resulted from your concern about the kids in Homewood, lead levels there, and you see from working with kids that there are concerns, and the test scores show that kids there are not performing as well as those in other parts of the city, which I presume led to your suspecting that maybe there's a problem with lead. From your perspective as someone working in the community, what is the biggest challenge? If it's not lead, what is the biggest challenge facing kids in Homewood right now?
Thank you very much for that question. We know that children face tons of barriers in general to, you know, doing well academically. So for Homewood, for children who are in Homewood, it's a place with a lot of strengths and a lot of assets, but some of the things that they are up against are, 20% of the homeless kids in the school district live in Homewood and attend our two schools. You know, it's very hard to do homework if you don't have a home to do it in. A lot of them are facing food insecurity issues or, you know, have parents who are living well under the poverty line. So, 60% of our people and all of our kids actually have, get free and reduced lunch. The things that they're up against are, really structural barriers to doing well in school. So even if, they came to school and they did their homework, I mean, there are things that they are contending with outside of that, 8:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon that, are huge, that are things that adults, would have problems with.
So what needs to happen on a community-wide scale to make life better for the people in these communities and particularly the children in these communities? Like Homewood.
Well, I think that's, and if I can be so bold to say that I think the Homewood Children's Village is really taking, a very direct approach. We're looking at how to really work with the community and not just, guide the community, but be a part of the conversation with the community and work with parents and children and schools to really think about, how do we maximize the potential of a parent to be the best possible parent that they can be, not only for themselves, but for their children. And then how can we, maximize the success of children? And so by doing that, we're looking at things like helping to coordinate services so that parents can, for instance, finish their GEDs and, attain, better occupations. Also helping them have things like reliable childcare and high quality early care for their children, because we know that if you put children in early education, high quality education, for every dollar invested, you get almost $9 back return on investment. So those are the things that we're looking into in terms of Homewood and the community.
A caller who did not want to go on the air wants to know, are we making any progress in holding the people who sold the plumbing supplies containing lead accountable?
Oh, that's a good question. I did not get into that aspect of it, but that's a good question.
Well, sorry we weren't able to answer that, but
Well,
you've done a lot of work, Ashley. We don't expect you to know the answer to everything, but let me engage you in a bit of I guess what would be conjecture at this point. But you know, we've talked about, and Karen Hacker, the head of the Allegheny County Health Department, has called for mandatory testing. What are the chances that we'll see that happen? If not across Pennsylvania, certainly here in Allegheny County.
Well, that's up to whether the legislators hold hearings on this bill, this act, House Bill 1917, and move it forward. It
hasn't come out of committee yet?
It has not come out of committee yet, and there have not been any hearings on it.
What should people do? Call their legislator and say, we're concerned about this, let's get it moving?
If people are concerned about it and they want to call, it would be Representative Matt Baker, who is chair of the Health Committee, Representative John Marr, chair of the Environmental Resources Committee, and Representative Petrie, who is chair of the Urban Affairs Committee.
Very good. It's been an enlightening conversation. I want to thank both of our guests, the Pittsburgh City Paper's Ashley Murray, who has been reporting on lead levels in Allegheny County and what's being done to address that problem. Also joining us, A.J. Curry, Research and Evaluation Analyst for the Homewood Children's Village. Thanks to both of you for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up, how George Westinghouse Jr. helped create what we now know as The Weeknd. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.